Welcome to Nectar's Conversation Journeys. We travel to or invite the movers and shakers of the mobility, energy, and climate ecosystem. Listen in and enjoy the talks.
I'm super excited today at ETS in Bilbao to welcome Sophie. Sophie is co-founder and CEO of Morescope.
That's correct.
And I just had the pleasure to see her on stage pitching for her company and the product. And I was very, very impressed about specifically the passion I felt. Someone being really passionate about what they're doing. And that's why I couldn't resist but inviting you to this little Nectar Conversations interview. Welcome, Sophie.
Thank you so much.
So we'd start just right off by if you just talk a little bit about your company and about yourself and why you did you start all this, right?
Yeah, great. Well, thank you for having me. So it's always nice to know that the passion is appreciated and recognized. I think it's actually, we get into the startup game and it's almost from the get-go very much about revenue and traction and success, you know, but most founders get into it because it's something that they're passionate about. So I love that that you recognize that. Morescope is a tech company out of Norway. We build software solutions mostly to help companies be more efficient and smarter in how they decarbonize. A lot of corporate decarbonization work today is actually riddled in very time-consuming processes, lots of consultants involved. And it's a really big data problem because you have to both be able to, you know, look at entire value chains, which is in itself a huge hurdle. But you also have to actually look at forecasting.
Yeah.
And that means that, you have to combine so many different data sources in quite, you know, you have to really think out of the box in order to make it efficient. And one of the things is we've been working on this problem for 3 years. And in the last year, we've just seen this revolution in how we can solve this problem because of the developments on the AI side. Mm. And obviously, AI is such a buzzword, so I try to be careful in how I use it and try to be specific in how we use it. So in Morescope, it really has to do with, one, being able to structure and organize data of different quality types. And maybe the most important thing that we're now able to do is being able to create these hyper-contextualized inputs to decarbonization strategies. And before, you really had to be a company expert and a climate expert in order to do that. But today, with kind of the developments and the direction that AI is going, it becomes like a personal assistant and it becomes this toolbox of expertise.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the core of what we're doing right now. And I could go on and on.
Thank you very much for explaining that. And I find it highly fascinating because I sometimes perceive AI, and yes, it's a buzzword and it's a hype. Yes, we agree. And on the other hand, at the core, for me, it gives way more people access to solve hyper-complex problems.
Yes.
Because it takes some of those layers of complexity away and allows them to be closer at the actual problem.
Yes.
Right?
Absolutely.
And that is super fascinating. So I see it in a way, also a way to democratize access to technology.
Fantastic.
And finding solutions for problems that previously you'd need, I don't know, a pool of highly trained, specialized experts, technicians, right, to solve. And this is not going away. So there's a lot in it, despite of all the dangers, of course, that in this real world.
I love that you use the word democratize. We use that word in Morescope all the time. And I think, you know, we feel that a lot of, you know, the knowledge within kind of decarbonization and climate change strategies has been, you know, there's an access or an access problem there. You know, so a lot of companies, you know, they don't have that expertise in-house. And so they either have to hire someone to do it. And very often that person can't be an expert in all these areas without being, you know, a superhuman, which, you know, some sustainability people are, which is amazing. But the fact is that most companies need to go to consultants and that's very expensive.
Yes.
And so it becomes, democratizing. It also means, you know, making sure that you don't have to be a huge company with a huge wallet in order to work on decarbonization. One, because it's an incredible business value when you succeed. But two, everybody needs to do this. It has to be democratized. If it isn't, we don't succeed. So yeah, I'm happy you use that word too, because it's something that really resonates with us in Morsecope.
And with me, absolutely, yeah. The question you already heard today from me in a different context, but I'm going to ask it again for the sake of the audience. What are you most proud about if you take a look at your journey so far?
Yeah, so I can begin where I began when you asked it the first time. I've been working in decarbonization my entire career. I've kind of dedicated my life to my professional life to solving this climate problem on the corporate side. And I know from experience how difficult it is to have the type of impact that you want if you're doing it from kind of outside of an organization, outside of a company. So trying to come from outside and help a company with their decarbonization strategy makes very little sense, because they won't succeed unless they own this work internally.
Yes.
And so what I'm the most proud of is that I feel like I dreamed about Morsecope even before it was a thought. And now I'm here, you know, many years later, and it's a reality. And there's, I in no way mean to say that I did it alone, because that would be very, very far from the truth. I have both co-founders and colleagues who have been, you know, with Morsecope from the start, and who have been, who have shaped what my dream was back then too, because it has evolved, of course. So yeah, I mean, what I'm most proud of is maybe the vision is coming true, which I think is quite rare. And number two is the team that we've been able to create to make that dream a reality. And I think that's also kind of cliche, you know, when startups talk about the team, but startups are nothing without the team.
And I love that you actually bring in the team, because I hear that quite rarely, to be honest. And yes, from an investor's perspective, so what's important, top three things, blah, 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 the team, of course, sure. Yeah. But I think the interesting thing about pride is that you can have it and feel it, and you don't take anything away from anyone else, right? So I think it's very similar to love in that sense.
Yeah.
The more the better.
The more.
But I love the fact that you brought in the team. Where there's light, there's also challenges, right? And obstacles.
Absolutely.
What are the ones that keep you up at night?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, especially maybe when you work in a startup, there's this risk factor that's always looming over you. There's a risk, you know, that the market turns. There's a risk that deal falls through, and there's a risk that you lose that one key person. And it's like this, that's this network of risks that you're always trying to navigate. And that is in itself a challenge, right? Just
yes.
The mental toll of being under that type of, you know, pressure. But I think when I think about the challenge that kind of we have faced, I think it's kind of the somehow trying to align, you know, being a company that wants to work on decarbonization and sustainability more broadly even, but also being in the kind of chasing the money game and chasing the success. And because we know that we can't have the impact we want if we can't scale. And so scaling requires capital, it requires sacrifice, and it requires really hard work. And so sometimes that feels a little bit at odds maybe with the space that we operate in and our values. And so finding that balance in everyday life is a challenge that's kind of core, I think, to sustainability startups.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and it reflects very well, because I think that the first wave of green tech and clean tech, or whatever you want to call it, it was focused on impact, but a lot of those projects proved to be not necessarily sustainable in a financial way, right?
Yeah.
So bringing together both worlds is, in my point of view, also the art.
Yeah.
And this is the key to mass adoption in every sense.
Yep.
So,
no, I definitely agree with that. And I think, we always talk about, you know, saving the world. And that really is the vision, right? And in order to do that, you have to have, you know, scaling also gives impact. And so I don't think there's necessarily a contradiction there in kind of the truest sense of the word. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of the daily challenges to make sure that you're actually, scaling, growing in the right way, in a sustainable way. And, thinking about the people, thinking about environment.
Yes.
Obviously, the more we use AI, the more I think about kind of the climate challenge connected to AI. And so that's what I'm saying, is like growth isn't necessarily aligned always with the end mission of being, you know, of decarbonizing the world, right?
Yeah.
So having that balance always in your mind and trying to make the right decisions when you're in that, in the decision moment is quite key.
Yes, yes. And I think sometimes those decisions might be even contradictive because it can be very situative. Then can you... Like, and it's okay that they're sometimes contradicted.
Yeah.
I think this is something we as founders have to deal with.
Yeah. As part of the art. Yeah.
Yes, as part of the art, exactly. Yeah. Last question is a personal one. And if I may play a little game with you. So if we put ourselves into a giant time box,
yeah,
and beam us to in the year 2035, so 10 years from now.
Yeah.
And from the year 2035, we take a look at us now, 2025. What advice would you give the two of us in the here and now?
I think trust your gut. I think I have a tendency to, there's so many opinions out there. And especially when you're a young female founder, I tend to meet people who want to tell me their opinion of what I should be doing. And the reality is that I am in a situation because of, you know, who I am and you know, how my brain works, how my gut works. And so not doubting myself so much, because it takes away a lot of energy, right? To constantly be, you know, going over decisions or, you know, and just, yeah, having that confidence in your own instincts, I think is something I'm working on. But that I even look back now, you know, and just, you know, yesterday, what did I do yesterday? You know, and just, you know, telling myself, Sophie, just keep confidence in your own gut. So that's maybe the thing that I hope to improve on and would think that a future me would tell myself to just trust myself.
Thank you very much for sharing the very personal view there. I find it very inspiring. Sophie.
Yeah.
Thank you for the conversation.
Yeah. I'm so happy you
truly enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I wish you best of luck for your endeavors. I hope that our paths cross sometimes in the future.
Likewise.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to Lectures, Conversation Journeys. Subscribe and tune in again next time.